Today I'm talking to my mother, Catherine Martin, about her relationship with her siblings and how it has affected her in moving to an urban society versus a rural where she grew up.
Well, my siblings are my sister, Leslie, who's 4 years older than I am, and my brother, Christopher, who's 8 years older than I am. We spend a lot of time going to visit them in Maine and them coming to see us. My brother and I aren't overly close. We don't sit down and talk about a lot of things, but I'm very close to his family and his three girls and his wife. He likes to be in the outdoors, and I think he just likes having us all around when we go to Maine to visit him and when he comes here, but he's not very open with his feelings, so there's not a lot of sentimental talking. My sister and I are very close. She's 4 years older than I am, and we try to see each other as much as possible, but since we live in Philadelphia and she lives in Maine, it's often hard. But texting has been a wonderful thing for us, and we're constantly texting each other or calling each other for advice or complaining to each other or sharing exciting things, asking about what we should do with our children. So the relationship with my sister is very close. I adore her children also, and I actually was very good friends with her husband. We all went to the same college, so it's a lot of fun when we get together because we've known each other for a long time. But I would say that overall, the family unit itself with the siblings is very close, although we don't have sentimental conversations with my brother. The families are very close, and that makes me feel close to him. We did have sibling rivalry at times. My sister was always known as the airhead type of sister. That was a word that was used a lot back then, where she was very gullible, and I was always the smart one. So I do remember at a point as being a child that I tried to be like her and tried to act airheady, but that wasn't really who I was as a person, so it didn't really work for me. But I do remember trying to be like her. I also remember trying to look like her, doing our hair the same, her telling me what to wear, and then when I'd be around her friends, I always wanted to be hanging out with her friends and being like her in that way.
Then explains to me how her sister and her clashed and how it made their relationship stronger.
On his top bunk bed, I think that was a great memory that I had of my brother. Yeah, I think that I'm closer to my sister now, and probably the same with my brother. That's what being a family is, accepting each other for the clashes and knowing that you can clash and argue and have, you know, times that you don't agree, but that you're still always there for each other. I think that's the great part of being a family.
My mother talks to me about a story when she was a child and how her brother stole the family car and how that taught her to be the person who she is today.
I had, when my brother was 15 years old, he was just about to get his license and he had his learner's permit. My mother and I were in the grocery store and she was paged over the loudspeaker to come up to the service desk, which was the customer service desk. And when we got there, they had said that our Volkswagen Bug had been stolen and that she had to get home right away. My father was a police officer in the town, so she knew that my father was going to be there quickly. So we ended up checking out all of her groceries and then going home. When we got there, there were police officers all over our lawn. They were all my dad's friends because he was a police officer in the town. And I was inside with my brother, and my father and mother were outside talking to the police officers and talking about my brother said that he saw the guy that came into our driveway and took the car, and he had given a complete description of what he looked like, and they were trying to figure out who this man was because we lived in a very small town. And I remember my brother looking at me and saying, "Oh my God, I can't believe I have to go outside and tell them this." And I was very young at that point. If he was 15, I was 7, and I looked at him and I said, "What do you have to tell them?" And he said, "I have to go tell them that I'm the one that took the car." And I remember that very deeply as a moment of shock and worry that my brother was going outside with all these policemen and admitting that he's the one who took the car. It turned out that he had taken it for a joyride and all over town, and then had come back and decided to take it out again. And when he went down we lived on a very steep hill. When he got down the hill, he got in a car accident and flipped the car. And so he went out and told the police, and it was such a big deal because my dad was a police officer and a little embarrassing for the family. My parents still let my brother get his license, but as the day he got his license, they drove by the junkyard where the car was, and my father put out his hand and said, "All right, you got your license, now give it to me." And he took it away from him for the next 6 months. And I think that it was a punishment that my brother lived with and taught him a lot of lessons with, because it was harder for him to see that car all banged up and for him to give up his license than to have any punishment in the world.
She explains to me how much respect she had for her brother right then and how it taught her to do the right thing.
Yeah, I remember having a lot of respect for him, that I couldn't believe that he was going to go outside with, number one, my father, who was a Marine, a policeman, and not the most understanding man all the time, and all of the policemen in the town were there together. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's going out there to do this. Obviously, he made a big mistake by lying to everybody and taking the car to begin with, but to watch him do the right thing really stuck with me, because I had a lot of respect for the fact that he did that. I don't think I realized how rural the town was until I got older. It was just normal for me, and that was just normal life for me. If we wanted to go shopping or we wanted to go to a mall, it was at least a half an hour away. The grocery store was 20 minutes away. I had one neighbor, and that was it. I was surrounded by woods. I think I really liked it as a child. It was all I knew, and I liked the land. You ended up getting to know everybody in the town. The bus driver was the softball coach, and you know, everybody waved to you. I had a paper route that, you know, all the neighbors would pick me up and drive me around for, and I think it was really great growing up where I was. I didn't realize that it was such a small town until I got older and went to college.
She explains to me the great morals that she got from growing up in a rural society.
I think I have great morals and ethics because of the way I was raised. My parents always taught us to be truthful and ethical and do the best that we can. Even though there was some lying as children, I try my best to be a truthful person now and to be ethical. The thing my parents also taught me that from my childhood that stuck with me is my strong work ethic. They did not allow me to stay home from school for any reason except for if I was sick. I was told that schooling was very important and that we worked really hard, and I think that helped me as an adult realize that I need to work really hard in my job and my home. I think my childhood, I had a good childhood, so I think it's affected me in great ways. Watching my parents live a honest life and work hard, even though we didn't make a lot of money, has really affected me to try to do the same thing.
But she also explains to me the ignorance that comes with living in a rural society and not being exposed to an urban society as well.
I think some of my family hasn't been exposed to an urban environment, and so they have opinions that some things I've heard them say are, you know, people aren't nice in the city, they're nicer in the country. I don't feel that that's the same, that there are such things as bad neighborhoods. And I don't agree that there's a bad neighborhood. I do think that there's neighborhoods that are wealthier than others, but I don't necessarily feel like any neighborhood is bad. I think that there's good people everywhere. And just because people don't have a lot of money doesn't mean that they're living in a bad neighborhood. And that sometimes frustrates me when we're together, that they form opinions that aren't, in my opinion, true. So, It does get frustrating sometimes having family that doesn't understand what living in an urban environment is. They They think it's concerning that we lock our cars when we park them. They think it's concerning that we lock our doors and set our alarm in our house, because where they live, they leave their keys in their car, in their driveway, and nobody touches them, and they don't lock their doors ever in their home. So they just think, what are we afraid of, and why are there bad people out there doing things like that in the city? And they attribute that to living in the city, and not just that there's a concentrated amount of people around, and that things like that can happen. So I know, and my immediate family knows, that those things can happen in the country also, and that they should try to just be safe everywhere they are and not invite any type of thing like that in their life to come. But they also feel like the city is very noisy. It's hard for them to sleep when they come here, because we live on a major road and they hear sirens and cars. And when they hear a siren go by, they think something is wrong all the time. And to me, when I hear a siren go by, I think, oh good, the police are taking care of what they need to take care of. So that's interesting too, when they come to the city, because they're used to hearing crickets and cows mooing. And we're used to hearing sirens and cars and kids from college outside. I wasn't exposed to any diversity. I didn't have Chinese food till I went to college. I didn't have a fajita until I went to college. Until I went to high school, I didn't have any friends that weren't white. And I think that when I went to college, I finally realized that that wasn't a normal situation to be in, that white people weren't the only people around. And it was just so amazing to me to meet so many wonderful people of so many different backgrounds. And I appreciated learning that and finding out who I really was when I went to college. I don't know if it hurt me in particular, because I feel like I'm very open-minded, and that I accept people for who they are, whether they have that rural ignorance behind them or they are very open-minded. I don't know if it hurt me. I think it actually probably helped me to try to see all sides of things. I do feel that everybody should branch out and not live in a rural environment their entire life, because you need to learn about other people that aren't like you.